Bright and Distant Shores, written by Dominic Smith and read by Greg Lockett. Owen's love of objects first began with afternoons spent prospecting in the rubble of his father's trade. Ada, mother and wife, had died in the Great Fire, and Owen had only a dim recollection of her, raspberry leaves pressed into a hymnal and braided chestnut hair. Porter Graves kissed his fingertips every morning and touched her daguerreotyped face on the way out the door. Graves and son wrecking and salvage, the two of them on the box seat, riding to another falling tenement or warehouse. Porter bellowed through a bullhorn at his crew, while Owen, aged about 12, helped pry wainscoting or denail floorboards. Brawny men labored with crowbars and sledges, loosing bricks from the lime mortar, hurling debris down a shaft that had been hewn clear through the center of the building. They plied pickaxes, wrecking adzes, pneumatic guns. When all else failed, a stick of dynamite bored into a wall of solid masonry. The heady cocktail of nitric and sulfuric acids, glycerin mixed with porous clay, all of it blended and wrapped in brown paper like an orphan's Christmas present. Dynamite was Nobel's gift to the wreckers of the world, and there was no better moment in Owen's short childhood than standing with his father and the men after the fuse was lit. Dusty silence, followed by a sonic clap, runnels of smoke and billowing clouds of falling plaster, the bite of gunpowdered air. And for 15 minutes, the men relaxed, waiting for the all clear from Porter, for it was the boss himself who inspected the aftermath. They rested on crates and haunches, smoked cigarettes, spoke of wives and girlfriends, recalled pints of ale in neighborhood watering holes, and mythic accidents and teardowns. A grand piano falling 6 stories down the shaft and landing on a mason doubled at his work. The crazed arpeggio of splintered wood and warped notes ringing out for 20 city blocks. Or the mechanic who fell into a side chute, tumbling into a skip of broken glass. They spoke to Owen as an equal, a fellow destructionist and rubble maker, and he could feel their respect for his father as Porter came back from his inspections with the steely demeanor of an artillery specialist, two thumbs in the air. They salvaged as much as they could, pipes, fixtures, beams, marble and granite, trim, even plate glass wrapped in muslin. The scrap wood was bundled and sold to immigrants for kindling. The granite was recut for tombstones. Secondhand brick dealers carried off an endless bounty. Owen wasn't allowed within 20 feet of the shaft, and he worked the trim and fixtures with a hammer and chisel.